Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have come to the last day, last Lord's Day of the year 2013. But one day, we will all come to the last day of man's existence on this earth. It's not your last day, but it will be our day of death. But the last day of this world that we know. This world is cut up and divided into many parts. We call them nations. One day, all these nations, all these boundaries, all these divisions will be no more. There will only be one ruler, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he will rule this earth as one, his own. He, being the Creator, has every right to rule this world, his own. According to his perfect justice, this world will have Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, we have God telling us, describing for us what this final day would be like. Because the world as it is right now will not let go of their sovereignty. They will not surrender meekly, willingly to the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes. They will fight Him. They will do their utmost to resist Him and to prevent Him as He begins His kingdom. The title is, Behold, the Day Cometh. This day is very soon. This was written more than 2,400 years ago. This is the last book of the Old Testament, and then there will be a silence of more than 400 years before the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is known as the coming of the Savior, where we can shout and say, Hosanna, save me. But behold, the day cometh. This will be a day where the Bible calls it the second coming or the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. This will not be a shout of Hosanna. Hosanna means save, O Lord. There will be no saving when the Lord Jesus Christ ride on his white horse from heaven. When man on earth will see him riding on his white horse, they can't shout Hosanna. God's children will shout Hallelujah, praise the Lord, our Savior comes. But to a world that is covered in sin, they will not receive salvation. For the Bible tells us when that day comes, every individual, every human being on earth will be fixed in whatever state or condition that he or she is in. If it is one of sin and depravity and wickedness, that will be the state and condition that they will be in for eternity, which will mean they will end up in hell forever. If it is a state of condition of righteousness and holiness, then they will be righteous and holy for eternity. And they will end and find themselves in heaven. The day will come where everyone's state and condition will become permanent and very much fixed forever. But before that day comes, that is today, it is still the day of salvation. But you and I can still make a difference by doing something about our condition before God. For when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, it will be a day of great crying, sadness. And that is why you find in Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, where God has revealed to us the kind of conditions that will take place when the day comes. This is a warning. God did not have to do it. He could very well finish this book with chapter 3. He did not have to give us what is recorded for us in chapter 4. The reason is God does not want us to cry and to mourn and to end up in hell. That is not God's heart. It is not His desire for you and for me. Do not desire that for yourself, therefore. Desire for yourself a condition of righteousness, a condition of holiness, not only in your heart, but also in your mind and in your life. Because what is in your heart must be found also in your mind and in your entire life. Because your witness is the testimony that God wants you to bear before the day comes. Because it is through your life and witness and testimony of holiness that people will see Christ. And it is only through Christ that they can get rid of their state of sinfulness and wickedness and evil, isn't it? And as long as they do not see that, they will continue to remain in sin. They are not going to turn the Bible and read it. They need to see the impact of genuine conversion and salvation in the lives of all of God's children. And that is why God saved us and allowed us to remain on this earth and to give us this chapter to warn us that you cannot take your own salvation for granted. You cannot just simply say that you are a Christian and live any way you like and it does not matter. It matters to you and to the people around you. Because by calling yourself a Christian and you do not live the life of a Christian, they're going to have a wrong image of Christ. Because if you live a life of sin, then you will present that Christ is a sinner. Christ is not a sinner. He has never sinned and He never had and He never will. If you live a life of lying and cheating and wickedness, a life of drinking, a life of smoking, a life of slothfulness, a life of carnality, then we're telling people that Christ is exactly like that. But the Jesus of the Bible is never like that. And that is why it is so important that we take heed of these 6 verses in Malachi chapter 4. Recorded as a warning as well as a hope. A warning to those who are in sin, please take stock. A warning to those who are living a life of righteousness, don't give up. You may be facing difficulty, trials. And you may want to just simply stop living for Christ because you may find that living for Christ will mean persecution. And you are right. The world will hate you because the world is in darkness. They hated Christ first. And so if you live like Christ, they're going to hate you just as they hated Christ. And so it will be an encouragement to continue to live a life of holiness. You may not have done so in the year 2013. Please do so in the year 2014. Don't stop if you are doing it. If you have not been doing it and you are truly born again, stop sinning. Stop living a life of waywardness and disobedience and come back to the Lord. In verses 1 to 3 of Malachi 4, God described the 2 groups that will exist when He comes again. Which group do you belong to? Ask yourself this question. Only 2. There are no 3. It's either group 1 or group 2. Which group do you belong to? You've got to be honest with yourself. Because God knows. It's not for man to bother. It's not for man to know. Whether man knows, whether your neighbor knows, your pastor, your elder, your father, your mother knows, it's not important. Because whether they know or do not know, it will not mean anything concerning your eternity. It means a whole lot that you know, and you know that God knows. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. That is why it is not the first coming. Because when this was written, the first coming has not come yet. That's the first coming of Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ. Because the birth of Jesus Christ was not a day of burning. It was a day of salvation. That's why the second coming of Christ is a day of judgment. That's why Hosanna will not be the main theme. It will be judgment condemnation, burning, very fearsome, very awful. It is a day of burning. How hot? As an oven. The hottest that you find in the days of Christ, in the day of the Old Testament. The oven. When you bake bread, you put it in and you continue to stoke it and make it hotter and hotter and hotter. To use it to melt gold, to melt silver, the oven. It will be a day of burning, and no country, no square inch of this planet Earth will be spared. And that is a warning, isn't it? No matter how deep you go underground, it will be burned. Anywhere you go, it will be burned. Whatever you build will be burnt up. No matter how beautiful the building is, no matter how tall, it will be burnt up. No exception. Who would know? God's children would know. Do you know this? Do you know that your beautiful house will be burned up? Do you know that your beautiful cars will be burned up? All your expensive garments will be burned up? Everything that you do on this earth that will be burned up? Everything will be burned up. Do you know that? You travel around the world this holiday season. You see many things. Every tree will be burned up. Everything on this earth will never be the same again when the day comes. Do you believe this? There is one group that will not believe. God called them the proud. Who are the proud? The proud are the people who think that they can go to heaven by their own thinking, by their own notions, whether it is by good works or otherwise. As long as it is not through Jesus Christ according to Scriptures, you will belong to the proud. As long as the Jesus Christ that you say you believe in is not the Jesus that is taught in the Scriptures, you belong to the proud. You refuse to be taught the truth. You refuse to accept the truth. You continue to hold on to lies and to deception. And they are many today. The charismatics, they are deceivers of sinners. You do not become a Christian by believing that Jesus Christ died to make you healthy and wealthy. That is not what Jesus Christ came to do. This world will be burned up. What is the point of having good health and wealth when it is going to be burned up? It makes no common sense. It is a direct teaching against the clear teaching of God's Word. That's why it is deceptive. Make sure that it is the Jesus Christ of the Bible, or else you belong to the proud. You refuse to be taught the Word of God. They are the ones who can be seen, because they are the ones who will do wickedly. People who remain in sin will do wickedly. In their heart, their motives always have a secret agenda. Never for the glory of God, not for the glory of Christ, not for the blessing of others, but how I will gain something out of it for myself. That is wickedness from the heart. And it will be seen by your action. Because the good thing, in inverted commas, that you do will have an agenda. How I'm going to get something out of it for myself afterwards. Including all the evil, nasty things that you do. This subtle, deceptive heart of ours. Some of us have been practicing this so long, and has become so comfortable in it, that it has become second nature. Practicing wickedness with hidden motives and agenda in church, doing good works, it is a deadly, deceptive sin that you have to ask yourself in your own heart. Why are you doing good deeds? Why are you so nice? Why are you coming to church? Why are you giving your offerings? If all these things are to buy your way to salvation, to get something out of it, then you are still a sinner without Christ. That is most deadly and dangerous. Why do you think the Pharisees are so deluded? They were doing a lot of good works. They are not just doing good works as designed by the world, as dictated by the world. They are doing good works as revealed in God's Word. And they think that if I do all the Christian good works that's revealed in God's Word, I can earn my way to heaven. That was why it was so deadly and deceptive. Because what they do, you can find it in the Scripture. Just like people coming to church. Just like people giving offering. Just like all the Christian things that you do, you can find it in the Bible. And if you think that by doing these things will get you into heaven, you have a wicked heart. You don't. These are the fruits of salvation, not the root of our salvation. Pride will result in wickedness, and the Bible says they will be stubble. They will be burned up together with the rest of the world, not in terms of annihilation. What it means is that they will be destroyed together with the world, and they're going to end up in hell. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, said the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. It will be thorough, it will be complete, and everything that they stand for will be burned up and will be destroyed. That is the first group, the proud and those who do wickedly. The Bible tells us, Jesus told the disciples, a Christian is someone who has denied himself. And then he will take up the cross that God has for him. And then he will follow Christ. These three steps must be experienced by every truly born-again believer. And these steps are not negotiable. They are not interchangeable. They are not for us to pick and choose two out of three. You cannot say, I want to follow Christ, but I don't want to take up his cross, and I don't want to deny myself. Not acceptable to Christ. You cannot say, I want to follow, but I don't want to deny. You can't. You cannot say, I want to take up the cross, I want to follow, but I don't want to deny. You can't. It must begin with a total, complete denial of self. Denial of self simply means I disown myself. The me that used to be so big is now dead. It doesn't exist anymore. It's not what I want anymore. Before I ask for anything in my own life, I must now ask, what does the Lord want of me? What does the Lord want me to do in my workplace? Where does the Lord want me to go next? What does the Lord want me to do with my life in the church? Where does He want me to serve? It's not I want anymore. How should God want me to bring up my children? It's not what I want anymore. Stop reading those books that are out in the world on how to bring up children. These are all nonsense. You read the Bible. There's enough in God's Word, especially from the book of Proverbs, to help you be a godly father, a godly mother. Don't fail God and don't fail your children. We have never seen so many parents bringing their children up for infant baptism. 14 of them. You make an oath, you make a covenant with God and with your children. That's why the questions were not asked of them, but asked of you. The Bible will give you instruction on how to be a godly father, a godly mother. Don't fail them. Because they think that you are Christians. They believe you. And if they don't see Christ in you, they think that the way that you behave as a father, as a Christian father, Christian mother, is what Christianity is. Why do you think there are so many second generation Christians, Christians of parents, not children of Christian parents, are not in churches? They are wayward. Can you blame them when the parents are hypocrites? The Bible teaches Christian husbands, Christian wives, your role and your duty. Don't call yourself a Christian if you have not denied yourself. If you have not swallowed your pride and humble yourself and take up the cross. Why is it called the cross? Because that was Jesus Christ's cross. His cross from God the Father was to come down and do the Father's will to be our Savior by dying on the cross. He did that. Your life now cleansed and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ is now a life of cross, of the cross. The cross for you and for me and for Christ are all different. We now must live for what God has dictated for me now after salvation. Whatever He wants of me now, I must do. I must obey. No more what I want. No more how I should dress. Ask, what does the Bible teaches me on my dressing? Don't follow the fashion of the world. Don't call yourself a Christian if you are not prepared to deny yourself. Take up His cross that God has for us and follow Christ. Because otherwise, we still belong to the proud and to the wicked, and we will be burned up together with the world. Don't think that the second coming of Christ is going to be a happy day for everyone. It's not. Many will be deluded. Many charismatics will be deluded. Many in Calvary Pandan may be deluded. We hope not. But don't assume that it will be a happy day for everyone in Calvary Pandan. Don't assume. That's why these messages are very needful and necessary, especially for the last Lord's Day of the year, especially this year, 2013. Because we don't know, we have how many more years to live on this earth before the day comes. Don't think that 2015 is guaranteed. The day comes anytime. And it will be a day of burning. And the proud and the wicked will be burned together with the world. The second group. But unto you, the Bible says, that fear my name. The fear of God will stop us from sinning. The fear of God will cause all His children not to want to remain in sin. The fear of God for all of God's children will want to get rid of sin by repenting of our sin and make right our relationship with one another and with God. That's what the fear of God means. We are afraid. We don't want God to be angry with us because we love Him and we want Him to be pleased with us. That's why God called these second group. Those who fear Him shall the Son of Righteousness, not S-O-N, as U-N. Why? It is the righteous Son. The Son of Righteousness, we know this has to be a figure of speech because the Son is just a Son, isn't it? But why is the word sun used, S-U-N? It is the ray of light, the light of the sun. The sun shines on every part of the earth as the earth revolves on its own axis and around the sun. Isn't it? Every part, every square inch shines. The sun shines on it. The rays of the beam of the sun shines on it. And that is exactly how God wants to describe His children. Every beam of the righteousness of Christ will shine on every area of His life. No exception. Every area of His life must be characterized by righteousness because now He, the whole person, is righteous before God. Righteous in my husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, grandparent-children relationship, in your workplace, in your school, in your friendship, in relationship to the enemies that you face, the enemies of God that you face, every relationship characterized by righteousness. Those who have the fear of God will not want to anger God in any area of His life. That is the mark of a believer. That's what God says. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings, and He shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Why calves of the stall? Because calves inside the stall will surely be well fed, they will be well looked after, they will be well kept, and they will be safe, and they will grow up, and they will mature. They will definitely grow. Guaranteed. No harm, no danger, no disease will come upon them. Everyone who is born again, in other words, will surely grow and mature to be a more and more Christ-like in his life, in his thinking, in his motivation, in every area of his life. Guaranteed to grow. No stunted Christian, in other words. How long have you been a Christian? How mature are you as a Christian? If you had come from a church that has not been teaching you the Word of God, then blame it on the elders and leaders of that church. But in this church, We try our best to open the Word of God to all members, to all visitors and friends. Because the only way that you grow is through the Word of God. Because the Bible says you and I need food to grow physically, and you and I need food to grow spiritually. And the only food to feed our spiritual soul is the Word of God, which the Bible calls the milk and meat to our soul. Right? And so we have all the Sunday school to teach the children. The Sunday school teachers are taught in order that they may teach the children properly. All the fellowship groups' focus has to be the Word of God. Every ministry, every Bible study, it is not Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship is only the residual blessing. The main focus has always got to be God's Word. Because when the focus is God's Word, the focus is God. If it is just Christian fellowship alone, then we are no better than the community center that is next door. They have a lot of fellowship. They have fellowship for citizens of Singapore. In the church, it has to be fellowship around God's Word for citizens of the kingdom. So we have Bible studies. Next year, God willing, we are going to do away with the DHW. We are going to expand the adult Bible class. That means more Bible classes will be offered, more of the elders will be teaching the Bible classes. Different books will be offered so that you can choose which book of the Bible you wish to study. And I hope all of you will make the proper choice. The BBK classes I will teach by God's grace. I'll teach the BBK classes so that the elders, all of them, can have a partner to teach God's Word. Because when teaching God's Word, the elders will learn most. And they will also grow through the study of God's Word when they become teachers of God's Word. Different books. Contact groups. Bible study again. So that you will grow. You will be fed the Word of God. Because once you grow, you will become more like Christ. You can't help it. That's the power of God's Word in transforming the life of every genuinely born-again believer. And one of the clearest evidences of one who is born again, is it not in the fact that you are desirous of God's Word, desirous of eating and drinking God's Word? What is one of the clearest evidence of one who is physically dead? He stopped eating, he stopped drinking. You and I eat and drink continuously because you and I are alive. The moment you stop eating, you stop drinking, you will die physically, isn't it? In the spiritual realm, it's the same. That's why God used that as an illustration to tell us, if you are spiritually alive, the Word of God must be something that burns within your soul, that you will love the Word of God. You can't say, I don't want the Word of God. I'm not interested in theology. Check your salvation, dear friend. You are spiritually dead, in other words. Either that or you're so far away from God that you are as good as dead. And your witness and your testimony must be in shambles. And those people in your life, in your world, you better pity them. Because they surely will not see Christ in your life. And whatever picture that you have presented to them, because you call yourself a Christian and you do not know the Word of God and you live in sin, you have presented to them a sinful Christ and you have just condemned them to hell by your false and evil testimony. Which group do you belong to? I hope it is the second group. You will grow, you will mature, and the light of Christ will shine brighter and brighter with every passing day, passing week, and passing month and year. Because the more you become like Christ, the clearer the picture. And the clearer the picture it is, the easier it is for them to see Christ. And Christ, is He not a wonderful Savior? He surely is. And then your children will come and tell you, Mom, Dad, I want to know this Christ. I have seen Christ in your life. You are so different. You and Dad are so different, Mom. Can you please tell me how to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior? And then the thrill and the joy that you can have to share the gospel of salvation with your own son, your own daughter, is priceless, isn't it? And then you cannot stop praising and thanking the Lord, isn't it? That God, by your grace, by His grace and mercy, using your witness and testimony, and then sharing the gospel, your own children have become children of God. How amazing and how wonderful, isn't it? That's the second group. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, said the Lord of hosts. You will reign with Christ, in other words. When He comes, the second group who fear God, who live lives of holiness and righteousness, who will mature and grow and become more like Christ, they will also reign with Christ. They will be on the side of Christ when the Lord Jesus Christ, right down from heaven on a white horse, you will be with Christ on the judgment seat, reigning with Him to judge this world. That's the second group. You will not be part of those who will be burned up. Which group do you belong to? Verse 4 tells us what it means to belong to the second group. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgment. It's the word of God, isn't it? That's the key. Remember. Never forget the word of God. It's more than just memorization. Memorization is good. Memorize according to the context, please, by all means. Memorize according to the context will give you the right meaning and understanding, which in turn will result in the right kind of obedience and living and application. Don't just memorize without knowing the right context. Then you can apply it wrongly because you have the wrong understanding, and that can be disastrous. Remember the word of God. How can you forget the word of God? A child of God will never forget the word of God. He will always remember the word of God. He will always know the word of God, because it is only through the word of God that he remembers his heavenly Father, that he knows his Savior, that he knows God's plan and God's will, so that he can do God's will in his life. So ask yourself one simple question. Do you first have a desire, a thirst and a hunger for God's word? Don't talk about you have a thirst and desire for Christ. You cannot separate the two. You cannot say, I have a thirst and hunger for Christ, but not interested in God's word. You are a liar. You cannot separate the two. Jesus is the living word. The Bible is the written word that helps us know the living word. You cannot separate the two. You who love Jesus Christ, the person, will love the words of Jesus Christ, the Bible. You cannot say, I love the person, but I hate his word. I'm not interested in his word. Then you love a dummy. You cannot say, I love mom and dad, but I don't believe in what they say. They are liars. Then what kind of obedience is that? Because that's exactly what we are doing to God. If we say, I love God, I sing all these hymns in praise of God, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm not interested in the Bible. That kind of love does not exist in the Scriptures. Those who love God will love His Word. They will never forget His Word. They will never forget the one they love. They say, out of sight, out of mind. Others say, not out of sight, out of mind. What does others say? Absence makes the heart grow fonder, isn't it? Isn't it? Which one is it? Out of sight, out of mind? Or does it really mean that you can't wait to open the Scriptures every day? And there is a thrill and a desire in your heart to open the Scriptures, because every time I open the Scriptures, God communes with me. Every time I be still and I pray, I commune with God. God doesn't want to have a monologue. Every time you pray, 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 God says, all right, you talk enough. Now let me talk. Let me talk. How will God talk back to me? God's Word, isn't it? God's Word. You don't pray without opening your Scriptures. When you pray, you talk to God. When you read the Bible, God speaks to you. Always have a monologue. A dialogue. Sorry, not a monologue. A dialogue. Not a monologue with God. Pray without ceasing. Yes, by all means. But always read the Word of God. Spend time. Have a good, strong, biblical program. Now, we're going to have more classes for adult Bible class. Please, make it a priority. Especially, let it begin with parents. Now, we're going to start a new or an adult fellowship that is for the younger adults. Not the young adults, the younger adults. Because we realize that their struggles are very different. Younger adults, 30, 35, 40, 45. They still have young children, teenage children, as compared to those who are 60, 65, 70 and above. They have grown up children. They are grandparents. Their struggles in life are very different. And sometimes it is very difficult for the one adult fellowship committee to plan messages and programs to reach out to this vast range with very, very different struggles in life. When you focus on young children, the older adults say, sorry, we have already passed this stage. We are now in another stage, another struggle in life. How to cope with ailing health. How to cope with the final remaining years on this earth in a manner that is God-honoring. Isn't it? Very different. Why do we have to do this? It gives us more work. You realize that more work to do, and the deacons are already stretched. The elders are already stretched. But it will benefit our people, our congregation, God's people, by all means. We will take the time, we will take the trouble. It is for the well-being of God's people so that they will never forget God, so that they will never forget God's word. They will always remember the word of everlasting life. Because when they remember the word, they will live a life according to the word. Do you have a good Bible study program for yourself, for your children? Do you have? Please make sure every child of God must have. Because this is a description of the second group in greater detail in relation to God's word. First, they fear God. How to fear someone you don't even know. And therefore, remember the word of God. Know the word of God. And then finally, first two groups. One group clearly defined in verse 4. And then verse 5 to verse 6. The second group is called God's group. They belong to God. They are God's people. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. When the king comes, it is always preceded by a forerunner. John the Baptist is the forerunner of the first coming of Christ to prepare the way for the message of salvation. That's why he preached the message of salvation. He preached repentance, make straight the pathway for the first coming of our Savior. That is taught in Malachi chapter 3, the first couple of verses. But Elijah, you will see in the book of Revelation, he as one of the two witnesses. He is also the forerunner of the second coming of Christ, but he will come to do many miracles to fight against the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan, to warn the people of the coming judgment. The second coming of Christ will be seen by the whole world. The first coming of Christ was ignored by the whole world, except Joseph and Mary and the shepherds and the wise men and the angels. But other than that, completely ignored. But the second coming of Christ, it will be global. All eyes will see him come. But it will be a day of judgment, and Elijah, the fiery prophet, will come to prepare the way by warning the people of the fiery judgment that will soon follow. Very quickly, within a few years after Elijah will appear. And then the Bible says, he shall turn the heart of fathers to children and the heart of children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. God's group. Elijah will be sent preaching the fiery message of the coming judgment, and then many who are elected, chosen by God, they will be truly born again. At least 144,000 Israelites, 12,000 from each tribe, as Revelation 7 tells us, but there will be Gentiles, there will be others as well. This speaks of God's heart. This tells us that God wants more and more people to belong to the second group. Right just before the coming of the day of judgment, before the day comes, he sends Elijah so that more people can see the power of God and the miracles that Elijah will bring as he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ so that more will be saved. Please understand the heart of grace and mercy that our Heavenly Father has, that God the Creator has. This day must come because the world is in sin. God created this world. We have messed it up badly, and He cannot let the sin continue without end. It will end. And that's why it is called, "Behold, the day cometh." It will come. God is not going to ask us for permission. Is it okay if I come? He's not going to ask. He's going to just come suddenly, like a thief in the night. He will come suddenly, take us all home, and then 7 years later, He will come in the clouds of glory. That has been revealed to us. Hopefully, God's children will take heed. You and I will no longer be on earth when what we are reading here takes place. You and I should be raptured. You should be raptured. Don't be left behind, because what is left behind, this is what is in store for you. And if you are left behind and you hear the message of Elijah, you better believe. And you still don't want to believe, then truly, 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 we deserve to end up in hell. And that is where we will be for eternity. Please understand this. Eternity in hell is a terrible place of great pain and torment, and the fire will never, never be put out. And there will be no escape. And the reason is because of the heinous nature of the sins in our lives. Stop sinning. Please, make sure you belong to the group that fears God and not the group that is proud and wicked. The day comes. It will not be a day of joy and gladness for all unless you are the child of God. And if you are a child of God today, dearly beloved, dear friends, please live for Christ. And if you do not know how, study God's Word. God's Word will teach you and tell you how. Sunset Gospel Hour is designed for God's people. Why do you not come? Why do you feel that it is so satisfying just to have only one meal in the morning? Why do you eat three meals for dinner, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Why do you just have one meal? I was told by a pastor, he knew of an evangelist who ministers up in the mountaintop. And because he ministers up in the mountaintop and there is no time for eating and no food up there, so he thought, he will eat before he goes up the mountain. He will boil one big pot of rice. And he will sit there and he will eat. He'll eat for 8 hours, one mouthful at a time, and he'll consume the entire amount. Reason, I eat one meal right now within 8 hours, so that it will sustain me for the whole week up in the mountain. And then at the end of the week, he will come back down and he'll boil another big pot of rice and he'll sit there and eat for 8 hours and then he'll go up. You think that is good? You think that is good? Because that's exactly what some of us are doing, isn't it? The sad part is the message is not 8 hours long. Isn't it? Maybe we should preach for 8 hours, right? Sustain you for the whole week until we meet again next Lord's Day, right? So Monday to Saturday, no need to turn the Bible, no need to do anything. Just sit here for 8 hours, drinking all you want, and then come back again on Sunday. Maybe you should do that, yes? So service starts at 8 a.m. and we will stop 8 hours later. That poor man died. His body could not take it. Sadly, the Lord has taken him home. That is not the way to treat this body, isn't it? Sit there and eat for 8 hours. One whole pot of rice. But that's what some people think they're doing to their own spiritual soul. Why? You think we want numbers in our Bible study groups and our contact groups? No. We only care for one thing. We want God's people in this church to be fed the Word of God. That's all. To be fed the Word of God properly. Because once they know the Word of God, we know that the Word of God will be their mainstay that will help them fight against the temptations and the wickedness and the dangers that they will face in the world out there. And without the Word of God to protect them, to help them, to guard them, they're going to be victims. They're going to be casualties. And we do not want you to become a victim and a casualty where your life will be a ruined life of testimony, where it could have been such a glorious and a wonderful testimony for Christ. Instead, it is a broken life. It's a broken testimony. We do not want that of you. Why? Because God the Father does not want that of any of His children. Remember, the Word of God is the hallmark of the second group, those who fear Him. And they belong to God's group. And God says, they are the ones that I will save. They are the ones who belong to Me. Which group do you belong to, dear friends? Make the right decision before the day cometh where everyone will be revealed, whether you belong to group number one or group number two. By then, it's too late. Let us pray. Our gracious, our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may Thy Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, that we may realize and understand how important and significant it is for us to make sure of our own salvation before the day comes, where the Lord Jesus Christ will return in a cloud of glory, where everyone's state and condition in relation to Thee will be fixed for eternity. We pray, O Lord, that everyone who attends this church this morning may come under the sound of the word of everlasting life, and the conviction of God the Holy Spirit will make sure of our heart's condition, that none of us will choose to belong to the first group, which is characterized by pride and wickedness, but that all of us may belong to group number two, that is characterized by the fear of God and the love for God's word. Help us, O Lord. Help us that we may be true to our own soul, that we may honestly know that we are indeed children of the Most High God, because we have truly accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. For we have denied ourselves, we have taken up the cross, and we will continue to follow our Savior to the end of time. Help us, for Jesus' sake, in Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.